are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Friends, grace and peace to you. It's good to be with you this morning and good to be back at Covenant. Last Christmas, my partner Sarah secretly knit me a pair of socks as a Christmas gift. They're beautiful, colorful, soft, and have little curves and threads that show the delicate maneuvering of her needles as she stitched together these socks. There are little mistakes which I never would have noticed, but she pointed out, which make them personal and particular. We were seated on the living room floor when I opened them, and I put them on immediately. I loved them, but I have not worn them since. I love them so much. I can't bear the thought that I might wear them in too much or get them snagged on something or they get tangled into a big mess in the washing machine. I love them. And so resting very gently in my closet, I leave them. And I'm sure I'm not the only person who does this, who sets aside our most prized possessions to only use or wear or touch on special occasions. The favorite quilt you never curl up with, the softest sweater you never wear, your favorite scented candle that you never light. When we love something, we don't want to break it or ruin it or use it up. When we love something, we so often leave it be, set above or apart, but always a little far away. But what then to make of this sermon series, Practicing, where we are exploring the actual, physical, tangible practices in our life that shape us and might just shape the world. This week in particular, we're exploring the practice of loving. Now, it feels like a catch-22 to say just about anything on the topic of love, because we talk about love all the time. Love is everywhere, or at least the rhetoric of love is everywhere. Love letters, love languages, love songs and love stories. All you need is love. Choose love. Love wins. We love love. And Christians in particular love talking about love. Our most cited scriptures read like rhythms and travel like well-worn paths. For God so loved the world. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And our reading for today from the Gospel of Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture, the words of love, the good news of love. What then do we do with these words of love? Sometimes we set these apart too, for banners, for billboards, for weddings. Scripture set apart and afar from the everyday reality of what we actually do. But the invitation of this series on practicing is to take this far away, special scripture, these hopes and wishes and intentions of healing or of love, and make them actual, make them tangible. What does loving look like? When we read the commandment to love with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, what does that look like? And especially now, where our usual ways of loving God, loving our neighbor, maybe even loving ourselves have radically shifted. We don't go to church and take communion or hear scripture in the same way. We can't safely exchange hugs and handshakes, help and care the way we used to. The ways we learn to value ourselves, love ourselves, if it's through our profession, our busyness, our achievement, those ways have fallen short in a season of slow time. What now? What does love look like now? The good news for us in this season of slow time and uncertainty is that our love for God is not bound to the walls of a building, and our love for our neighbor is not annexed to an intention that never takes action. And our love for ourselves, without the condition of productivity or progress, we might return to chapter 1, healing. Surely we have work to do on loving ourselves too. But what does this love for God, love of neighbor or self, look like, especially now? The author of the book we're working through in this series notes that in any time, but probably especially now, the act of loving is not to do heroic, big, or extravagant things, but to do ordinary things with tenderness. What ordinary things do you do with tenderness? I invite you to really think about this. What ordinary things do you do with tenderness, with care, with kindness? We might especially need to cultivate new practices of love for this season. New ordinary things done with tenderness and regard for ourselves, for others, and for God. This could be spiritual practices of prayer, meditation, connection, or gardening, harvesting, baking, writing, making phone calls or volunteering, tending carefully to someone else's vulnerability with regard and reverence, finding touchstones in our home or in the world to remind us of God's presence and God's love for us. It might feel slow. Be patient. Trust the process of loving, because it is a process, a practice. Love is patient. And I don't know what those touchstones and practices are for you. Which relationship, the one with God, the one with others, or the one with yourself, that might need a little extra loving kindness. But the call and the opportunity here is to cultivate practices of love, ordinary things done with tenderness. And if you don't get it right the first time, thanks be to God, love is patient, love is kind. This fall, I've been watching my partner Sarah knit something new for a friend of ours, a baby blanket for a little boy on his way into the world. Every chance she gets, she's working on this little blanket. And so I get to watch these strands grow into shape and see that every tender stitch is an act of love. And when it's done and mailed miles and miles away, a little boy will be wrapped up and warm. I imagine she knit my Christmas socks with the same love. hopefully, the soft knit blanket gets used, even if a little worn out over time. The things we love are meant to be held close, engaged with, loved in action. That little boy will use his blanket, and I should start wearing the socks she knit me a year ago. Love is very patient in this case. The things we love deserve to be loved in action. Our sacred scripture on love is not just meant for billboards and weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love takes practice. And thanks be to God as we try our best to love and be loved. We are held by a patient, kind God who loves us all. Amen.